We just had a week of VBS, mobile VBS. We were in three locations, three different neighborhoods, and we saw almost double the amount of children and families that we ministered to last year were there this year, and that's an incredible thing. And we're going to need your help next year. That's going to be an all hands on deck because we're going to go to more neighborhoods than we were this year. And so we're not going to have you volunteer. We're going to voluntold you where you're going. And so just be ready for that. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning? Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Lord, as we now look into your word, I pray that you would speak to us, help us to understand and apply what we hear this morning, that we would leave here changed for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've been walking through the life of Jesus as we've been looking at the gospel according to Mark. And we come to this passage right here as we're talking about the mysteries of the servant, some things that Jesus taught us that were sort of mysterious a little bit, maybe a little confusing in some ways. And we're going to talk this morning about the mystery of gaining by losing. The mystery of gaining by losing. And when we talk about these things this morning, we have to understand that everything that Jesus taught was absolutely countercultural. Everything that the religious establishment thought they understood and head in direction, Jesus showed up on the scene and said, "No, y'all got that wrong. It's actually this over here. If you really want to gain anything, you have to be willing to lose everything." And so the first thing we're going to look at this morning is that we gain from denial of self. We gain from denial of self. Look there in verses 34 and 36. It says, "Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life?'" If we are to be a true follower of Jesus, we must eliminate certain things from our lives. We have to be able to deny the things that the world throws at us, the things that Satan throws at us, the things that are temptations, that are sins. We have to deny ourselves in those areas so that we can be an accurate follower of Jesus. Now listen, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about following a list of do's and don'ts, that if you do these things, you're in God's graces, and if you don't do those things, you're out of His graces, but rather that we want to live as holy people because God is holy. And so when we look at these passages, Paul here in Colossians 3 talks about putting on and putting off. And he actually says this. He says, "Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now, put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all." He goes on in Ephesians chapter 4 and says this, "But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal, Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up of someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. Now, if we go back and list out all the things in here that we would classify as sin, I'm pretty sure it covered everything for all of us in here. As we were reading through there were probably one or maybe some others that we walked in there, that's something, that's me. That's something I struggle with right there. And this is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to deny ourselves in our lust and our fleshly desires and seek after Jesus. We need to take all of those things and get rid of them in our lives, not because we have to conform to a specific image, but because we are to be like Jesus. If we want to know how we're supposed to live, we simply must look at the life of Jesus and emulate what we see there. You see, the Bible was not written so that we could simply outwardly conform to a specific image. It was written so that we would know who God is and we can imitate him in all of our life, in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. And so as we come to these passages and others where Paul specifically says, put off these things and put on these things, you know what we should do? We should probably pay attention. And we should probably live in a way that we're denying ourselves, but we're seeking after God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and I bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. What Paul says here is that we need to make sure that we're running the race of life in order that we win not a temporary reward, but an eternal reward. That we have to have self-discipline in our lives so that we do the things that look like God and we don't do the things that don't look like God. And Peter goes on and echoes this, and he says in 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. You see, denial of self does not mean that God does not want us to have any fun. God is infinitely more concerned with our holiness than our fun and our happiness. Denial of self means I am intentionally eliminating things in my life that do not lead to holiness. Jesus, in that great Sermon on the Mount, he said, listen, if there is something in your life that causes you to sin, get rid of it. If it's your hand, cut it off. If it's your eye, pluck it out. He didn't want us to walk around maimed and blind. He wanted us to walk around holy. And so he was saying, if there's something there that shouldn't be there, that does not look like Jesus, it shouldn't be a part of your life. And so that we gain from denying of ourselves. And that goes completely opposite of what our world says, doesn't it? We've got to look out for number one. I'm going to do me, you do you, we'll all be good. I'm going to get mine, right? YOLO, you only live once, so you just do whatever. And that's what the world says, and what Jesus says, no, we gain when we actually deny ourselves those things that don't look like Jesus. But number two, we gain from death as our choice. Look there in verses 34 and 35. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. Now, we need to think about when Jesus was speaking these things. Today, when we see a cross, we think of a religious symbol, don't we? We think of a church. In fact, if you were in my Connect group this morning, in our notes, we had a little diagram of what our church was and how it cooperated with other entities. And what did we have on the top of that little diagram, which was an incredible picture, wasn't it? Well drawn right there. What did we have on top of that to signify that that object was a church? It was a cross. But when Jesus spoke these words, the cross was not a religious symbol. It was actually a symbol of death. The Romans came in and they had come up with this incredibly painful and torturous way to kill people and to make a public example of them, and that was crucifixion. Crucifixion, you actually died from suffocation. You really just, your lungs filled up with fluid and you kind of drown right there as you're hanging in front of everyone. And your body would sometimes be left up for days or even weeks, even after you died, as a reminder to everyone else, hey, get in line or else. And so as the people walked around in that area of Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee, you know what they would have seen all over the hillsides? They would have seen crosses. They would have seen people who were dying or people who had already died and hanging there. And they were reminded constantly, if you don't line up with what the Roman Empire wants, we're going to take you out. And so Jesus looks at his followers and he says, hey, do you really want to follow me? Then we must have death as our choice. Take up your cross. We might say today, we could say, take up your electric chair. Take up your lethal injection needle and follow me. You see, he was saying, when we truly give our lives to Jesus, we're saying, all right, everything that I have, I'm putting it to death because I'm following after only you. Confessing Jesus means that we must follow him to crucifixion. Now, my guess is that probably there will not be a single one of us that will ever actually be crucified. There's probably not a single one of us that we will ever be hanging on a cross somewhere. And so we're not talking about a literal crucifixion, but we're actually talking about the symbolism that comes with it. Kent Hughes says this, "The cross is for all who follow Christ. Christ leads the procession carrying his cross, and we, his followers, tread in his steps, bearing our own crosses. We march to death." This is one of those things that we don't really put on the Christianity brochure, right? Hey, come follow Jesus, you're going to die. That's not usually how we proclaim it. But when we really understand who Jesus is and who he wants us to be, we gladly embrace it. We march to death. And so I was thinking about this. What are our crosses? Because I would say that probably in our culture today, we really misunderstand what crosses are. You may have even said this before, well, that's just my cross to bear. And you're talking about a splinter in your pinky or something like that. That's my cross to bear. I got this little piece of wood in here. So what are our crosses? Well, they're not hardships. It's not being laid off from your job. It's not getting a bad report card. It's not even an unfair boss. It's not an illness or a handicap. It's not a financial hardship. It's not a rough patch in our marriage. It's not neighbors who don't like you. Those are not crosses. Crosses are difficulties because of our relationship with Jesus. In other words, they're difficulties as a result of preaching and living out the gospel. We have around the world today more people being persecuted for the name of Christ than ever before in history. We think about the Roman Empire, and we think about when the Christians were taken in there to either fight each other, or they were taken in there to fight against lions and tigers and bears, oh my, whatever. We think about those things, we think, oh man, that was such bad persecution. There is worse persecution today all across the globe. Right now, in many countries that probably some of us will never ever go to, there are Christians who are in prison simply because they decided to forsake Muhammad and embrace Jesus. Right now, there are those who are being led to execution because they name the name of Jesus. Right now, there are those who are facing legitimate hardships in their life simply because they were preaching the gospel and people came and they beat them up and they fired them from their jobs and they disowned them from their families, wouldn't let them get an education because they named the name of Jesus. And we think, oh man, my boss was mean to me today. That's my cross to bear. Now, when we're talking about our crosses to bear, we're talking about what makes us march towards death, and that's the gospel. See, when we understand the gospel in our lives, we understand what Jesus is really calling us to. See, salvation is so much more, so much greater than just having fire insurance that we get out of hell and into heaven when we die. It's even much deeper than having personal and intimate relationship with Jesus. It's that he is calling us to a life that's radical and completely different than anyone else. And when that happens, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, all those who desire to live a godly life will suffer persecution. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? Like, yeah, persecution. You see, Jesus said, the world hated me. Do you think they're going to hate you any less? Do you think that those around us, even in our nation, really like us just because we name the name of Jesus? No, you see, because darkness and light don't have fellowship. God and Satan don't have friendship. If we are true Jesus follower, he has called us to a life of death as our choice. Kent Hughes goes on to say this, a cross comes from specifically walking in Christ's steps, embracing his life. It comes from bearing disdain because we are embracing the narrow way of the cross, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It comes from living out the business and sexual ethics of Christ in the marketplace and world. It comes from embracing weakness instead of power. It comes from extending oneself in difficult circumstances for the sake of the gospel. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was stating to all of us, not just him in the first century in the early church, he was stating to all of us, we are crucified with Christ. You know what that means? We aren't in control of our lives anymore. When we come to Jesus, we are taking our hands off the steering wheel. We are taking our hands off the control of our lives and we're saying, Jesus, you know best, and I am choosing you above all else, even if it means death. Now, my guess is for most of us, if we stay in this country for our lifetime, most of us will probably not face death for being a Christian. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be willing. That doesn't mean that we should see ourselves already as dead to sin, dead to the world, but alive to Christ. You see, isn't it kind of crazy that we can gain from denying? Isn't it kind of crazy that we can gain from choosing death? Because when we're choosing death, we're actually choosing life. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Maybe you felt like this before, where you You feel maybe overpowered by sin in your life. God, I'm not going to have those prideful tendencies anymore. And what do you go? Right back into pumping up number one. God, I'm not gonna lie anymore. And then we begin to stretch the truth. It's not really a lie. It's just a little white lie. God, I'm not going to be angry anymore. God, I'm not going to be addicted to this anymore. God, I'm not going to be lustful anymore. Whatever it is. And we walk back into that time and time again. You know why we do that? Because we've not realized that Jesus died to free us from sin. That when we came to faith in Him, He crucified, He killed, He murdered sin in our lives. So when we sin, it's because we are choosing to sin. We haven't recognized that we've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. We don't realize that we are dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we are saying, I will give my life for the sake of the gospel. I'm crucified. I'm choosing death, which means I'm actually choosing life. Jesus has not called us to a life of ease, convenience, and pursuing the American dream. He has called us to pursue deep, intimate relationship with Him. He has called us to lay down our lives in order to reach just one more with the gospel. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. You know what that means? We can choose to live now, live it up in this world, do whatever feels good, seek after our own pleasure, follow what everyone else is doing. We can choose that. We can choose to put God to the side and say, maybe some other time, not right now, I'm not going to choose that now, I'm going to go after this. Can I tell you, first of all, everything that we choose that's sinful, that's of the world, is always going to leave us feeling empty, always. Because the only thing that satisfies is Jesus. Ecclesiastes, we're told that God has set eternity in our hearts. It's been said this way, that we have a God-shaped hole in our lives. And we keep trying to fill it with all sorts of things. We try with drugs and alcohol and sex and relationships and money and status quo and all these other things that we try to stuff in there, and it never satisfies. We're always left empty. But when we seek after Jesus, you know what we find? Satisfaction. You know what we always find when we seek after Jesus, even when it's completely contradictory of everything else the world is telling us? We find that we are full. We find that we are happy because we've chosen death. Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Jim Elliot was a missionary who in the mid-1950s went to South America to a previously unreached tribe with one purpose. He went there with a few other guys. They went with one purpose, and that was to share the gospel with them. By all accounts, Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and all of those guys, they were incredibly talented men. They could have done anything in the world and succeeded at it. And they chose to go to a jungle. And it was there in that jungle on the sandbar of a river that they were killed for the sake of the gospel. Do you know what their wives and kids did? They went back and shared the gospel. And the majority of those people, even the ones who had killed their father, killed their husband, came to faith in Christ. You know why? Because they recognized that they were crucified with Christ. They no longer lived. And he wrote this in his journal a number of years before he ever went to South America. And he said, listen, I'm not a fool. I'll tell you who the fool is. The one who seeks after the temporary and not the eternal. In other words, we could say it this way. Losers are keepers. Losers are keepers. In other words, those who decide to keep whatever it is here in this life, they end up ultimately losing. But those who decide to lose what's here in this life, they're the ones who ultimately end up keeping. We gain number one from denial of self. We gain number two from death as our choice. We gain number three from dedication to Jesus alone. Look at verses 34 and 37 and 38, says this, calling the crowd, along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You see, dedication means following without question. I think a lot of times we think of dedication as something we might do at a camp service, or we go forward on a Sunday morning and we're going to dedicate our lives. There's actually much more to the word dedication than just making a one-time decision. And so it means following without question. If you look back in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, we see the story of Jesus as he calls Simon and Andrew and James and John. And this is basically what he says. He walks up to them and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. The dedication means obedience without question, following without question. Number two, dedication means submission without reservation. Look in Luke chapter 9. Jesus is there teaching. And a guy walks up to him and he says, I'm going to follow you. And this is what Jesus says, follow me. Lord, he said, first let me go bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see what both those guys said? First, let me. When we are dedicated to God, when we follow him, it means we are submitted to him without reservation. That means when we are submitted, we are saying, yes, Lord, I don't even know what you're asking me to do, but yes, I'm already going to do it. No matter what, no questions asked, I'm in. When we decide to say, well, I'm going to follow God, but you know, first I'm going to kind of make my money. First, I want to make sure my kids graduate high school. First, I want to make sure I have grandkids. First, I want to, when we do that, you know what we do? We never actually follow God. We're never actually dedicated to him. We're never actually submissive to him. We're never actually obedient. Because we're saying, God, me first, you second. What we should be saying is, God, you first. You first. That's dedication. Dedication means living unashamedly in obedience to Jesus. Look there again at verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. This verse right here is kind of scary. Because I don't know about you, but I'd really rather that Jesus wasn't ashamed of me. I don't know about you, but when Jesus shows back up, I don't want him to look at me and be like, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You see, we don't gain salvation by doing things, but once we have salvation through faith alone in Jesus alone, we recognize that he is calling us to live completely differently than ever before. Totally opposite of what the world is. Not just like off to a little bit, like complete 180 degree difference from everyone else. We think, man, how can we really gain our lives from losing all of these things? Because we're putting aside the things that don't matter. And we're seeking after the only one who does matter, and that's Jesus. Dedication to Jesus is the complete opposite of what the world tells us. The world tells us that we will miss out on so much if we follow Jesus. The world tells us that we won't get ahead or get what's due to us if we follow Jesus. The world lies. Can I tell you what Satan, what his plan is twofold? Number one is he wants to keep people from believing in Jesus. That's his first goal. He doesn't want people to know who Jesus is. He doesn't want them to put their faith and trust in him. He doesn't want them to be saved. But number two, if you are saved, you know his goal is to keep you from being effective. You know how we're effective for God? When we deny ourselves of everything else and we seek after Jesus only. You know how we really make a difference in life is that we are completely radical. That people look at us and say, man, they're a fanatic. That's great. Go after that. Be the fanatic. Be the one who is completely different than anyone else because you're living like Jesus. Be the one who's acting and talking and thinking just like Jesus Christ. Be the one who's completely different, even if no one else in your family or in our church goes after that, you go after that. Be the one, because the world lies to us. Dedication to Jesus is everything. He has not called us to be part-time followers. He has not called us to be Sunday morning followers. He has called us to live radically dedicated to Him and to the gospel. So the question is, church, are we ready to live radically different than everyone else? Let's be honest for a minute. Sitting in this room this morning, you know what's easy to say? Yeah, I'm ready to be different. I'm ready to be radical. I'm ready to live on mission. I'm ready to deny myself. I'm ready to choose death. I'm ready. But when we get out there, sometimes between right here and right out there, things can change because, well, we didn't consider everything. Or we get that text message from someone, or we didn't like it because someone was sitting in our seat or took our parking spot that morning. Casting Crowns, a number of years ago, wrote a song called The Altar and the Door, and they talked about how sometimes between right here and right there, we forget what happened right here. You see, if we're just a Sunday morning follower, you know what happens? We can come in here and get all kind of fired up about Jesus and have that real good feeling about Jesus and walk out the door and act like we never were here. That's not how God's calling us to live. What are our takeaways? And we'll be finished this morning. Number one, we gain from denial of self. What do I need to deny myself so that I can live more holy than ever before? What's in your life? What's in my life that shouldn't be there? That's preventing us from living holy as God is holy. There's not really a debate on this. If there's something there, we need to get rid of it. We just need to cut it out. We don't need to put makeup on it and make it look all pretty. We need to cut it out. If you have a tumor, you know what they do? They go in and cut it out, or they take the medicine and the chemo and the radiation, all that, and go after it hard to get rid of it. Sin is infinitely more worse than cancer and a tumor. Number two, we gain from death as our choice. Do I recognize that I am dead to sin? Am I willing to give my life for the gospel? People are going to look at us and think we're crazy when we say, you know what, I'm excited about death because, number one, I'm dead to myself, I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive in Christ. And number two, I can't wait to be in heaven with Jesus. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm at a funeral of a believer, I get a little annoyed because they beat me there. And I'm like, doggone it. They're not dealing with sin. They're not dealing with the stuff that we have to deal with. They're not dealing with taxes. They're in the presence of Jesus. I'm happy for them, but I'm a little annoyed. We recognize that we gain from death through our choice. Number three, we gain from dedication to Jesus alone. Am I fully dedicated, following, obedient, and submissive to Jesus? Fully, not partially, not sometimes, fully. That's who Jesus has called us to be. Completely, totally, fully sold out. Without reservation. I wonder what it would look like in our country if everyone who claimed to be a Jesus follower lived like Jesus all the time. I wonder what would happen in our churches. I wonder what would happen with crime, with poverty, with racism, with abuse, if everyone who named the name of Jesus lived like him. I don't know in our lifetime that we're going to see that in our country, but you know what we can see it? We can see it in our own lives. When we make the change in our own lives, it affects those around us. We make the change in our own lives and it affects those around us, it affects our families and our churches and our neighborhoods and our workplaces and our schools. We can see change happen just because one of us decides, you know what? The mystery of gaining by losing, I'm all in on that because I'm going to deny myself. I'm choosing death. I'm going to be fully obedient to God. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the way you challenge us and convict us. And Lord, this morning I confess that many times we don't live as a true Jesus follower. Lord, we allow things into our lives that shouldn't be there. We pursue after things that don't matter rather than the gospel. We're not fully dedicated, fully committed, fully submissive, fully obedient to you. So, Father, I pray this morning that you would change us. Give us a different desire. We've previously had a heart of stone, and I pray that you give us a heart of flesh. That you would allow us to be fully and completely sold out to you. Lord, this morning we have children and adults that are headed to camp. And we know that they're going to have a life-changing experience, and we're excited about that. But Father, many of us need a life-changing experience right here. And so I pray that you would work mightily in our hearts this morning. That we would not leave here without making things right with you. And Lord, that the decisions that we make in here this morning would not be gone by the time we reach the parking lot. It would affect us radically for the rest of our lives. Lord, this morning, there may be some in here who have never given their hearts to you. They have never fully trusted in the name of Jesus alone to save them. They're trusting in their church membership. They're trusting in rituals that they've done. They're trusting in their baptism, but they've never put their faith and trust in you and you alone. And so this morning, Father, I pray that they would believe, that they would call out to you, that they would understand the beautiful simplicity of the gospel. That you died in their place for their sins. And if they would simply believe in you, you will forgive them and give them eternal life. Father, this morning I pray that you would work in someone's heart, that they would say yes to you. Lord, I pray for those of us who already named the name of Jesus, that we would turn our eyes on Jesus. That we would understand all that you've called us to be, that you've called us to be holy, that you've called us to pick up our cross and follow you, to deny ourselves, to choose death, to choose obedience, to be submissive completely. Lord, I pray that you would work in us, not just now, but for the rest of our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.